As soon as we walked onto the pitch, we saw him. I suppose we'd known all along that he'd turn up sometime, but now, finally, here he was. Shabbier than I'd been expecting. Lonelier looking. Grubbier, maybe. But that wasn't the point. He hadn't come to be looked at. He'd come to look at us. At Nick and me. The rest of the team buzzed around like excited songbirds. "He's the chief scout at the Arsenal," someone said. "I go to Highbury every week and he sits in the dugout next to Bertie Mee." "He's the fella from West Ham," another voice claimed. "It was him who first signed Bobby Moore." Our goalkeeper said the man scouted for Chelsea, and somebody else said it was Charlton or Fulham or Queen's Park Rangers. Of course, I've read enough of these stories to know how they usually pan out. A kid is due to play the most important game of his life when suddenly it snows in the middle of May and the game is called off. Or the referee has a heart attack. Or it's discovered that tearaways have broken into the park overnight and set the pitch on fire. But in fact, none of these things happened. Instead, we played the game of our lives and with the scout looking on, won 14-0. I was surprised by the attention we were getting because the truth was that I wasn't very good at football. I couldn't shoot, I couldn't dribble, and I didn't really like getting muddy. But I was quick, very quick. And in the South West London Under-15 Sunday Amateur League, that was apparently all that you needed. Nick scored 141 goals that season, still a South West London Under-15 Sunday Amateur League record, and I got the assist on all but three of them. And every goal was scored the same way. Someone on our team would get the ball and then hoof it in my direction. I'd get it under control and then run towards the other team's goal as quickly as I could. I'd normally get there before anyone else and would then simply wait. Sometimes I'd try to juggle the ball a little and sometimes I'd just stand there. And as Nick arrived, I'd play the ball into his path and he'd kick it very, very hard. And with the speed and trajectory of a minor comet, the ball would crash into the back of our opponent's net. I had taken off my boots and was rolling my socks over my ankles when the scout made his move. "You did very well out there," he said. "Thanks. Ever think of playing with a better team?" "We don't know any better teams," Nick replied. He handed us each a scrap of paper with a phone number written on it, in pencil. He said, "I'm always in on a Monday." And then he left. I'm not sure whether Nick rang the number or not, but I finished putting away my kit and never played football again. We had the summer off, and one evening a girl I had long admired invited me over to her house and played the first Clash album. By the end of the week, I'd taken up smoking and playing the bass guitar. Fun was suddenly shapely. It sometimes wore a leather jacket, and it usually seemed to happen in the dark. But 9 or maybe 10 years later, I put the TV on one afternoon and saw the last few minutes of the FA Cup final. A team were losing 2-1 when their winger found some space on the right. He crossed the ball into the box, but the pass was under hit, and when Nick arrived, I knew at once it was him. He had to stretch for it, and the shot went straight to the keeper. "That wouldn't have happened if I'd been playing," I muttered, a little louder than I'd meant to. "What did you say?" asked the girl in the bathroom. "Just talking to myself," I called back. "I'm just talking to myself."